Hi, everybody. My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. It's Thursday, November 4th, 2021, as I talk to you right now. Hopefully everyone's doing well. On this week's episode, I'm going to scratch a little itch that I've had for a little bit. Not that kind, but the AEW Impact relationship, it's coming to an end. And the not in any bad way necessarily, but the storyline version of it has, given that Christian Cage has lost the Impact world title to Josh Alexander several weeks ago at Bound for Glory. And with that, the two sides are going to go their separate ways for now until they find something else to do. And throughout this whole year, I've kind of had some questions about it. I've talked about it on this podcast before, and I believe other ones as well. So I want to kind of get a nice look back at the things that worked, the things that didn't, and ultimately, was this relationship worth it? Did both sides get out of it what they wanted? Did they really even put that much thought into it? We get into that in a little bit more. That and a little bit more, I should say, with Martin Dickinson, who is writes for the Sportster, and he actually wrote a very good feature piece looking back at their relationship and some of the things that I've talked about and want to talk about. I was actually thinking about doing my own thing, and then perfectly, he actually did it for me. So Martin and I, this is his first ever podcast appearance, so I'm breaking him in here. And yeah, we basically just kind of go through all these different things that happened over the last almost year since Kenny Omega won the world title from Jon Moxley at Winter is Coming, and then kind of what happened after that through the Cage Alexander match. So if you're into this kind of stuff, I think you'll enjoy this conversation, and let's get right to it. Myself and Martin Dickinson from The Sportster talking about the AEW Impact relationship over the last year, and was it worth it? Let's get to it. Josh Nason's Punch Out now. Well, with the recent, I would say demise, but pause in the relationship between AEW and Impact, I was really interested in taking a look back at the relationship and was thinking about maybe doing something for our website. And then, lo and behold, someone actually did it and did it better. I was very envious of this, but he did a great job. He's on the line with me now, Martin Dickinson from The Sportster. And he wrote a nice column that I'll link in the show notes and on the website as well for the AEW Impact partnership is over. Was it worth it? And Martin joins me now. Martin, we talked about before. This is your very first podcast. I'm glad to introduce you to the world here.
It is my first podcast. Thank you for taking my podcast virginity, as it were.
Very good. So for those that aren't familiar with you, how long have you? You're relatively new to wrestling writing or on the scene. Kind of tell us a little bit about you and how you came into fandom and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I am relatively new to the writing. I started for the Sportster in August, so that was like my first time making this as my real job. So yeah, I've been really enjoying it so far.
Awesome. What other stuff do you write for them? Just wrestling or any other sports?
Yeah, just wrestling. My official title is features writer for the Sportster. I'm supposed to be doing do 5 or 6. Articles a week.
Oh, good stuff. Awesome. Well, so what about this interested you as a topic? Was it something similar to me where, you know, this thing kind of wrapped up and you were just fascinated by it, or what stuck out about this to you?
Yeah, because it was interesting because it felt like it never really got going, because the actual crossovers that happened were very, very small scale, I thought. So when I heard it was over, it was just like, was that it? Is there no more?
Yeah. Yeah. Same with me. Yeah. And let's just kind of get into this. And yeah, I assume everyone listening to this kind of knows how this partnership started. Really kind of kicked off back in December 2020 with Kenny Omega's win over Jon Moxley at the Winter is Coming event. On Dynamite, and then obviously, you know, Don Callis had been involved for quite some time or getting kind of in the mix. And then, you know, as the two are devilish heels are exiting the arena, they say, you know, it says, see me on Dynamite this Wednesday or this Thursday, rather. Everyone's or see me on Impact, rather, this Thursday. And everyone's like, huh, okay. And then away we went. So, it, you know, and I remember that night, you know, we're doing the recaps for the site and everything. And I was kind of thinking, like, you saw all these Impact people kind of getting excited about potential crossovers. I remember, you know, Jordan Grace was talking about some stuff, and there was kind of like this immediate jump to a conclusion of this is going to be like a full on quote unquote invasion angle, which is seems to be, you know, one of everyone's favorite things in wrestling is when two groups kind of cross over like this. But in the back of my head, I think I remember saying it that night that I'm just like, I don't feel like this is a big invasion. It just didn't feel like that's where it was leading to. Obviously, we didn't really know a whole lot. But what was your sense that night? Did you get the same thing, or were you kind of excited at the possibilities?
It was exciting thinking of all the dream matches that could happen. Like, even just off the top of my head, you could have done the Young Bucks, Motorcycle Machine Guns, Britt Baker, Deonna Purrazzo, Sami Callihan, Darby Allin. It's just, I wasn't expecting a full invasion, but I was expecting more crossovers between the bigger stars.
Yeah, there really wasn't, and I think that, you know, the tone was kind of really set that first, you know, that first week or so when, you know, they were talking. It was very Omega-based, and I remember kind of, you know, the first interview on the bus and all that. It was a, it just seemed like this was going to be a very top-centric type thing, and then we kind of learned, you know, there was this idea for the belt collector gimmick and all that. It felt like it was really just a kind of a focus on Omega and making Callis kind of a bigger deal versus anything to do with kind of a promotional war, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think they even did very well with that, because like of all the people Kenny Omega and Christian Cage feuded with on Impact, none of them appeared on Dynamite. So you could have had like Rich Swann, Moose, and who else did you face? Josh Alexander even appearing on Dynamite, but it just never happened.
Yeah, and I think too, one of the things that you had alluded to in your piece was, you know, the promotion for the Omega's title matches, even the first one against Swann, when he was going to a champion versus champion match, AEW didn't. I mean, they didn't really play it up at all. To your point you just made a minute ago, Swann never appeared on AEW TV. There was no, I don't even remember seeing a graphic. There might have been an ad that ran at one point, but it was not woven into the show's fabric. And I remember when it was that, even for really for Hard to Kill in January, when he made his debut, when he's going to make his Impact debut in that 6-man tag, and that was going to kind of lead to it. And then, of course, again, leading to Rebellion, the title versus title. It never really seemed like AEW was that interested in telling that side of the story. You know, it felt like not that, you know, our champion is going to take this. It's kind of like they were happy to do it in the Impact universe, but they didn't want to really muddy the waters, so to speak, in the AEW universe. That's kind of what it felt to me.
Yeah, I felt the same. And I don't know why. Why wouldn't you want to integrate them more? It was just a very strange creative decision, I thought.
Yeah, I didn't really. I'm not sure why. If it's a case of, well, we have enough going on here, or if it was a case of, you know, they were like, maybe they worried that there was a little bit of issue with the Impact. But then, if you're gonna go do this, then go do it and don't kind of put your toe in the water. And to me, you're gonna like jump right into it. And yeah, I don't really get that, and I don't know if we'll ever, maybe someday we'll get kind of a more explanation, but, you know, given that they seem to like working with each other, you know, I doubt they're going to say anything, you know, bad about each other, but it just, for whatever reason, just they didn't really feel like they were fully committed to the bit.
Yeah, and hopefully, like, the relationship continues, maybe, because, like, AEW have enough shows to go around. They have, like, Rampage, Dynamite, Dark Elevation. They could fit some Impact superstars crossing over somewhere, even if it was just on the YouTube shows.
Yeah. One thing I remember when, you know, we're talking, this was when, might have been when Omega first won. There wasn't, in terms of single stars, Impact at that point was lacking when it came to like really kind of the crossover matches in which that you really kind of talk about, like, oh, this could be interesting. I think more people are talking about, you know, the, again, the, to your point earlier, the Bucks versus the Machine Guns. bolstering at that time, which was kind of a weak AEW women's division, and because Impact's was, to me, you know, a lot stronger in terms of some of the, you know, the top talent there, doing some interesting stuff there. You mentioned with Purazzo, Jordan Grace, some of the others there that could definitely add some depth to AEW. But, you know, there was Swan who, you know, just for whatever reason, Impact was kind of like they, you know, they gave him a run with the title, but just he never really felt like the guy there, you know. Moose wasn't ready yet, kind of the form that he is now. Alexander was, you know, X Division, and I think they're in a much better position now, where if they did that, you have some interesting matches. But at that point, it was kind of like we it's like they needed a stronger world champion, but I didn't necessarily feel like Omega's run there elevated anyone else in Impact.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. Like, it's a strange decision of, like, if maybe AEW didn't think the likes of Rich Swann and Callahan and were big enough names for Omega to feud with. So, like, why do the relationship at all if you feel like that?
That's good. A little bit more of your column. So a few of the things that the Tony Khan, Tony Schiavone weekly ads, which early on were in newsworthy. I mean, essentially, they were just a promo for Dynamite and kind of for Tony Khan to explore this character, be a little bit more brash and, you know, kind of throw some jabs at Impact and so on. And, you know, I think the first month or so, they were entertaining. Sometimes they were even newsworthy and so on. But yeah, as time kind of went on, they kind of got more lackluster, and then they just kind of eventually disappeared. What was your take on the run of ads?
Yeah, they were very strange, weren't they? I wasn't sure what exactly the point of them was. Like, if Impact were doing the same thing on Dynamite, then I'd understand. But it was so one-sided. It's just weird.
Yeah, Impact, to that point, Impact never really... they never really got back at them. And if you remember early, there was the backstage segment on Impact where, you know, Scott D'Amore was so excited about the, you know, that he was talking about, you know, all everything. Everyone was buzzing about social media about these guys. And Tommy Dreamer was kind of, you know, erring on the side of caution. And he was just kind of playing up the, you know, the Don Callis thing and saying, you had to be careful of him. This is when he was Impact VP, which, you know, I thought was kind of an interesting storyline, had they really gone with it. And they kind of like, again, they dabbled into it. They eventually kind of came back to it full circle, but it took a while to get there. That was led to the Don Callis firing. But, and then, you know, D'Amore just kind of like that part was just dropped. And you're right. Impact never really seemed to get even, you know, they had another company basically shitting on them and making jokes about them at their expense on Impact TV, which was newsworthy and interesting because you don't really see that, but it's also kind of less like they gave themselves up for, and they never really got revenge. Even to this day, there was not, you know, they never really got back at them. It's almost like they allowed themselves to be beat up just so they could get, you know, Omega on TV and a few pay-per-views. It doesn't really make much sense to me even now.
No, me neither. But I would say that Impact needed something to get them in the headlines, but I don't think letting themselves get beaten over by AEW was the answer.
Yeah, you're right. So we'll kind of get to kind of where things set up in a minute, and then you had brought up the Sammy Guevara incident. And this is kind of one of the really interesting things, and one I'd forgot about, of course. And you know, wrestling, everything is crazy year round, news-wise, but, you know, this was a deal where Guevara, basically, he went to Nashville to tape, be part of the tapings, and he was going to be part of a six-man, and then it was going to lead to this X Division title feud and so on, but he had pushed back, and I know that, you know, David reported, and maybe others perhaps at the time, that Chris Jericho had kind of come up with this idea with Don Callis, and there was something about it he just didn't make sense with, And this is, you know, he had left AEW and he was going to, and at that time, you know, in storyline, and basically, you know, why would he become part of another team there and so on? It was just kind of a mess. And then Impact was like, well, this is what it is. And Guevara's like, I'm not doing it. And I guess talked to Tony Khan. And then they said, okay, he's not doing it after all. This is kind of just this weird, like, footnote in this whole strange relationship in that, you know, early on it was really a private party, and Matt Hardy had been the only ones other than, you know, Tony Khan and Jerry Lynn to appear on Impact TV from AEW. Private Party, we got the title shot against the Good Brothers and so on. But, you know, that really didn't lead to anything else. It just kind of happened. And then you have this kind of this weird Guevara thing. So early on, it just seemed like something was not clicking for whatever reason. And perhaps maybe they were going to do more, and maybe something like this may have prevented it. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, I guess so. Because the storyline with Sammy Guevara sounded fine to me. Like, I don't see what the problem would have been if he had done it. But I'm not Sammy Guevara, am I?
Yeah. So in you'd put here Guevara. And this is from what David said. Guevara suggested winning the X Division title, return to AEW, then he stripped of the title, never losing it, and the title we put for grabs in a tournament. Impact didn't really seem they were interested in that. And again, became that kind of their way or the highway situation. So yeah, it was, maybe that was kind of Impact sticking up for themselves. Like, oh, we don't want to have our title used this way, but you know, maybe there's some way they could have figured it out. It just feels like they didn't really have a plan for how both groups were kind of intermingle. And then when the chips were down, and AEW was like, well, this is the way it's going to be. And they have obviously a bigger foothold in the industry right now, that they're kind of like, well, this, they kind of, you know, helped enable some of their stars, or at least Guevara, to be like, I don't know if I'm going to do, I don't really feel like doing this. And in fact, it's like, well, I guess we don't have to do it. It's just kind of a weird thing where it didn't really seem like they had a plan for how the year was going to go outside the world title picture.
Yeah, definitely. And that, if Sammy Guevara had won the X Division title and just held it without losing it, that would have made Impact look bad, I would think.
Yeah, I suppose it would depend on how they went about it. I think they have enough. Yeah, they have enough talent where, you know, if he was just going to relinquish the title outright, I think that would have been kind of shitty. But, you know, and again, this is kind of the thing of, you're trying to me, like, if you're going to do this type of partnership, it's similar to kind of how people view the world. Like, you want to left it in a better place than how you found it. And it didn't really feel like that was the interest of AEW necessarily. It was kind of like, it's a means to an end, and Impact said, to your point earlier, they needed something to go with. I wonder if, had they been able to figure something out of just a better way to exit the title picture, you know, Guevara against some of these X Division guys like Chris Bay and Ace Austin. And I mean, their X Division roster is pretty stacked right now with some interesting matches. That could have been fun. But yeah, I guess they just couldn't find a way to get it done at the end of the day.
Yeah, there were plenty of matches Guevara could have had. It's a shame that it never happened, to be honest. Mm.
So Impact, we saw, again, Private Party made an appearance, Matt Hardy made an appearance, Private Party had the match, Tony Khan and Jerry Lynn were on, and it was Kenny Omega and Callis, and that was, we saw, you know, Christopher Daniels randomly, yeah, made like essentially two-week appearance. That didn't really seem to make any sense. It just was like kind of in and out, and there was no long-term effect. It was really just something for Ace Austin and Madman Fulton to do for 2 weeks. And I think that was it, right? Other than obviously Christian, we'll get to that in a minute. But yeah, other than that, there really wasn't anyone else from AEW on Impact. I'm forgetting, right?
I think Kazarian might have appeared.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
More than one. Did he go after the Good Brothers as the Elite Hunter?
True. Yeah. And that was it. It was kind of like he was in there for a couple weeks, like one day of tapings, and that was it. I don't remember. Yeah, there was no women or anything at that, no other team. So, yeah.
Yeah, the women would have been the most interesting crossover to me, with AEW's roster is a bit thin, while Impact's is one of the best in wrestling right now.
Yeah, it certainly is. Yeah, they had a lot of that is a very surprising one that they didn't do. I am surprised they did not try to do a Bucks Motorcycle Machine Guns match. I think that would have been a lot of fun to figure out a way to get that on Dynamite or something like that. But yeah, it was. So on the flip side, as we mentioned, there was the biggest kind of like red flags to me is when they didn't push the Impact pay-per-views hardly at all. again, the title versus title match, the champion versus champion, winner take all. You have your champion going to a different promotion, and potentially could be saying, you know, we might have a new champion. Rich Swann might be the AEW Impact champion come Saturday night, right? And yeah. Because they did not feature him, did not even focus anything, it was almost like, and I think everyone kind of knew going into it, there was no way Omega was going to lose. But from a promotional standpoint, it didn't make it any better because they didn't even, AEW didn't even like tip its cap to the potential this could happen. They're kind of like, there's no way this is happening. We're not giving Swan any time on TV at all. No credence to this. So they're kind of like in a way saying, don't worry about it. You know, I find that really telling, and maybe kind of like, you know, this whole thing is said and done. That may be the biggest indictment on this relationship at all. Oh.
Yeah, definitely. Rich Swann not appearing on AEW was the first red flag, and it never really recovered.
Mm. So then we go to obviously Christian winning the title, defeating Kenny Omega on the very first Rampage, again serving AEW's interest more than Impact's interest. Gets the title off Omega. Swan never gets a rematch. You know, Omega goes through his run. He beats, he had the win over Callahan in the, was it a death match or a hardcore match? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so he did that. He did, and obviously Callahan, you know, I guess kind of appeared in an AEW ring because when Moose and Omega were having their match, that got moved to Jacksonville, of course, again, on AEW soil, right? And then Callahan appeared on that at the very end of the match to thwart the Young Bucks. You know, Callahan did kind of make an appearance, but that was, you know, essentially that was it. There was no, like, real AEW, you know, mention or tie-in or anything like that. So Omega did that. You know, he did some six-mans and so on. He loses the title cage. His Impact title run, it happened. I don't really... You know, the whole belt collector thing, it didn't really take off for me for whatever reason. I think, again, because of the way it was kind of handled with Impact, again, the AAA thing, I think for a lot of fans, unless they're really into, you know, wrestling history, understanding this, that doesn't really seem to mean anything because it's not like AAA is, you know, on in the U.S. and a regular, you know, TV presence or something like that. It's not like, you know, say Omega was like, say he was like the GCW champion, like the PWG champion, you know, something that may mean something more to maybe some US indie fans, so to speak. It just, you know, just never really kind of like got going. So to me, Omega's run was kind of like, it happened and it may have, you know, it helped, you know, may have helped Impact with some early TV rings or maybe some better pay-per-view buy rates than they had been getting, but ultimately, it just kind of didn't. I don't know if it really had the, you know, no pun intended, impact that it probably should have.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if COVID had anything to do with that, and maybe it was planned to win more titles. But I definitely agree that the belt collector didn't go very far, because there were other titles he could have won. Really, they have a relationship with the NWA, so like he could have faced Nick Aldis at some point. Yeah, I don't think they put the heart into that gimmick, I think.
Yeah. Was there a match there that Omega did not have, or a feud or something like that you would have liked to see him have?
On Impact?
Yes.
Well, he faced most of the top stars, most of the main event scene back there. But yeah, I would have just liked to see it more featured on Dynamite, I think.
Yeah.
Josh Alexander, Kenny Omega would have been a good one.
Yeah, that would have for sure. Yeah, I think part of it too is it's hard because he was in essentially, you know, a featured player on AEW, obviously, and he wasn't going to be a week to week character on Impact, where you could have got the Alexander match. I would have loved to see a match with him and Ace Austin. I think that would have been great. You know, he didn't get a chance to work against Alex Shelley because Alex Shelley had to pull off Hard to Kill. So, you know, some of the things where you're looking at some of the more dynamic, you know, wrestlers in Impact. And again, obviously, you know, today with some of the talent they've signed, you know, perhaps there'd be some more interesting stuff and what have you. So his, you know, so his reign ends. He doesn't go for the title again, doesn't even really mention it again. which I think is just kind of interesting, right? And then the Christian era begins, and you know, Christian it appeared for a couple TV tapings. He actually worked Ace Dawson, and then he had the match to Josh Alexander at Bound for Glory, and I think people kind of knew where that was going to go. They obviously didn't really see the swerve coming in at the end, I think, with Moose. But you had this, you know, Christian was essentially a transitional champion, kind of the definition of it. But, you know, he put some time in, he worked some matches for them. But, you know, there was supposed to be kind of a little bit of a nostalgia pop there with him returning to the company, which was kind of fun, I guess. But ultimately, it was like he was a transitional champion.
Yeah, definitely. And it seemed like they just changed the title just to give the first episode of Rampage something to do.
Right.
Because Kenny Omega could have just... I think if Josh Alexander had beat Kenny Omega, maybe it would have been a bigger deal, assuming they didn't do the Moose thing at the end.
Yeah. So one thing about the Omega thing, you know, we're talking, that kind of came to mind, and I brought this up before. I wonder... in this era where you can see talent pretty much, I want to say everywhere. What's the best way of putting this? You can see Kenny Omega on Dynamite. You can see Omega's matches from the past on New Japan. You could see Omega work in Impact. You could see him work for AAA. It's not like there's a shortage of Omega content and matches out there, both new and old stuff, right? So I wonder, and this is something we were talking about in our editors group with, you know, when some of the ratings were coming out and viewership numbers, and they weren't as high as we thought. Granted, you know, a lot of that, some had moved to Twitch viewership, which Impact was on at the time. I wonder if his impact was a little bit lessened in Impact because fans could see him in AEW, because there's kind of still this taint on the Impact name from the Dixie Vince Russo era and a lot of the stuff they've done in the past. Not necessarily fair to the current group owning it and running it, but that's just kind of the reality situation. I just wonder if, you know, the idea was nice, but it was going to be tough to kind of hit maybe where they wanted to hit in terms of from an Impact point of view, because Omega was so readily viewable and accessible other places.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought of that, because Omega at the time was the focal point of Dynamite every time, and yeah, maybe it was just spread too thin over everywhere.
So obviously Christian lose the title, Josh Alexander, we talked about that, and then Moose defeated him, and then the relationship ended. And also part of that too, so we'll kind of look at what AEW got. So AEW, the only again, they had there was no Swan appearance we talked about, but then, you know, depending on how what your view on this team is, it could be a loss or a gain for AEW, and they got the Good Brothers to be on for a few months. I'm not the biggest fan of those guys. I'm just not. I think the in-ring work, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work for me. But they were part of that elite group, kind of the reformation of that, and obviously before Adam Cole got there. And now they've kind of just quietly been written out of that group. They did defend the Impact Tag Team titles, which was interesting, a few times on AEW TV, which I, you know, again, is always kind of interesting when you have your tag titles defended on another promotion, you know, multiple times. I thought that was kind of interesting, suspect. For AEW, they really didn't, for terms of talent, they really didn't get much out of it, unless you're a huge Good Brothers fan.
Yeah, and even the Good Brothers didn't do a lot. For the most part, they were just standing in the background of elite promos.
Right.
So even though they had the Good Brothers, they didn't do a lot with them.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, there's really no notable kind of things that they did, and yeah, I think the whole. It's interesting because obviously this, you know, this relationship has ended in terms of this, you know, world title program, but it's, you know, they could work together in the future. I think this, you know, Cole kind of forbidden door, concept is, obviously Impact is leaning into it, pretty heavily with New Japan and things like that, which I think has worked pretty well for him. I think their relationship with New Japan and having some of these talents come in has actually been better than the AEW one. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Suzuki is the most recent one, isn't he?
Yeah, Yep. So he's going to have the match with Alexander, but they've had El Phantasmo, they've had Finjuice come in. Satoshi Kojima came in. Even guys are just coming in for like a couple matches at a time. They're still Jay White came in. It's crazy that if you had looked at this before Winter's Coming, if you had said, look, Impact is going to work with two groups in the next year ahead, New Japan and AEW, which one is going to be more fruitful? I think we probably would have thought AEW, of course. Didn't seem to be the case at all. That's crazy to think back on that.
Yeah, that is weird.
Mm. Interesting stuff. So yeah, overall, so guys, kind of final thoughts on the Impact AEW relationship. What do you think?
Yeah, so it was underwhelming overall, but hopefully it continues. Hopefully there's more stuff to come. Like you said, with Forbidden Door, anything could happen, really. Yeah.
What other stuff has caught your interest in pro wrestling lately? What do you watch on the regular, and what's of note to you these days?
So yeah, I watch AEW every week. I do the Impact pay-per-views, and I try to catch the WWE pay-per-views, but I don't watch the weeklies. It's too rough.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So Impact pay-per-view. So we just had Bound for Glory just wrapped up a couple weeks ago. And obviously that was a surprise finish. I didn't love how I thought Alexander, they had built him up so much and had really given him a nice run. It was a nice story. He'd done a ton of media before that. I thought that was going to be kind of a nice bow to that whole story and that run. And then obviously they did the Moose thing. I understand wanting to give Moose the run, and I think he should. I think there was just a different way you could have done it. I think maybe he did. If the insistence was we have to have him come out of Bound for Glory as a champion, which I don't know why you'd ever really insist on that, but if that was like we have a direction we need to get here, but we need to get the title off Christian and we don't want him to be in directly, what have you. To me, just have him like interject himself before the match ended and kind of screw both guys over that way instead of just making Alexander like look like a geek in like 2 minutes after. I think you invest that much time and effort into someone, I don't think you just beat him in a couple minutes after. Would you agree with that, or do you like the way things turned out?
When I was watching, I was shocked. It was a good match, and it seemed like a good time to give Alexander his moments. I didn't completely hate it, but it was, I'd say it's a strange decision.
Hmm. Yeah, I thought there was I think sometimes, especially for a company that like Impact, who is always, again, like I mentioned earlier, they feel kind of behind the eight ball because of this history that they're just saddled with. When you have the opportunity to have these feel good moments like this, I think you just kind of, you run with it and then you figure out a way. Moose isn't going anywhere. He signed a multi-year deal and he's going to be a top player for them. I think there's a way that you can get there without also giving Alexander his moment and kind of building him up. And even if it's a short run to start with, and you're like, okay, we need to start out the new year with Moose's champion or what have you. Cause if I think most people think that Alexander is going to get a title shot at Moose at Hard to Kill. So if you do the title change there, then you give Moose a 2 month title reign. I don't know if that's the best thing either. I think there's a better way to kind of get where you want to go and just not rush it and be able to build both guys up.
Yeah, definitely. I think Impact will see these two as the two main guys for the next year or so. So giving them a big moment on the supposed biggest stage, I can see the argument for it, but I think I agree. Maybe Moose cheating to beat Alexander on his first defense would have been better, and then Alexander trying to reclaim it. I don't know.
Yeah, I think with Alexander, it'll be interesting to see if he resigns. And if he doesn't resign, that obviously changes things quite a bit. And I had that mentioned to me that maybe that was a reason they didn't have him win. But then to me, like if they're like, we're not sure if he's going to resign at the end of the year, then you just maybe don't give him the shot to begin. There's a way around it that works best. And I think Alexander is going to re-sign. I don't think there's a limit to how many guys and girls AEW can take on the roster at a given time. I know it doesn't seem like it, but there is. And I don't know if he adds, he would add some to AEW's roster, but I don't necessarily think if they'd be interested in bring on another guy like that that's really good in the ring when they have so many other ones that they're trying to get TV time. I think he's too old to be a WWE guy, unfortunately, and you know, he can work Impact and also work Indies, which he has been doing. So Impact, to me, makes the most amount of sense for him to re-sign with.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. If Triple H was still running NXT, I think Triple H would be making a big play for him.
True.
But, I do think he'd be a... if his contract is coming up, I do think AEW will make a play for him. But I think I agree with you. I think Impact's the best place for him.
What were you surprised as the rest of us were that there was no Braun Strowman, no other kind of big announcements at Bound for Glory? It seemed like they were kind of, it seemed to be all indications and some of the stuff that leaked out likely from Impact to PW Insider about, you know, Braun was seen talking with Scott D'Amore at a Detroit airport and things like stuff that's just so specific. It's kind of like, all right, this was clearly teased out, and it never happened. It was just thought that was kind of interesting.
It was interesting, yeah. I was expecting Braun Strowman to show up, actually, with the reports. It turns out the biggest surprise was the WCW demon to me.
maybe when your pay-per-view, when one of your biggest surprises is the demon, part of your top three, maybe kind of reassess some things, I guess. So before we let you go, we'll give you a chance to plug stuff that you have coming up that you're working on for the Sportster or other websites, and then also social media where people can learn about you and all that good stuff.
So like I say, I'm still new to all this, so I'm not very good at social media, but my Twitter, I will look it up. It is it is @_M_J_Dickinson. That's my Twitter, and that's the only social media I have.
Good for you.
Thank you. for the sponsor, I have a few articles coming up. One about Deonna Purrazzo, Jay White, who else? Alberto Del Rio. Is he the biggest screw up in wrestling history? And I have another one that I'm forgetting, but that's my feature of the next week. Sportster.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, no, I appreciate this being your maiden voyage on the podcast. On the Good Ship podcast, and yeah, social media can be pretty terrible, so don't worry about that stuff. But yeah, I really enjoyed this column, and like I said, I think the best compliment someone can give is when they read something like, God damn it, I wish I had written that myself. And you did a great job of it, so you can check it out, the Sportster, the Impact and AEW relationship, looking back at that, and a lot of stuff we talked about now. So I think that's about it. Martin, thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I enjoyed this.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that talk. And yeah, as we kind of came out of it, or at least my thoughts coming out of it, and we'll see what yours are. If you want to tweet me @JoshNason, if you're a subscriber, you can put maybe the thread on the message board as well. Kind of what you guys thought. And really what stuck out to me after walking through all that was AEW not promoting the fact that, really not promoting the fact that Kenny Omega was Impact world champion that was going for the title in that Swan match. That was like, as I look back on it now, them not promoting that perhaps they could have a new world champion after that Rebellion pay-per-view, that kind of told you like everything you needed to know. He didn't make any appearances on TV. I mean, this is a guy, again, if in storyline, could be your champion in just a matter of days, and they basically paid it no mind. So it kind of tells you everything you need to know. Missed opportunities, and yeah, you heard the whole podcast, but there was I think that people that were excited at the beginning for a major kind of invasion crossover thing were sadly mistaken. And I'd be interested to hear what talent thought. Were they disappointed? Did they think there was going to be more to it? And yeah, so hopefully someday maybe even talk to Tony Khan himself. Would be interesting to talk to Scott D'Amore about that as well. So maybe that could be something in the future. And who knows how much truth and honesty you're going to get, because again, they're a good relationship and they're not going to bury each other, but it would be kind of nice to know some of those answers. So maybe we'll do that at a different point down the line. Let's see, all kinds of other stuff happening. Obviously the John Moxley story, that's been talked about. It's good that he's getting help, and especially for his family, for him and his family, coming from a background where, my dad, dealt with alcoholism. throughout, I say, his entire life, that my life, that I knew him. He died about 9 years ago due to a stroke, and a lot of it was health related, smoking and drinking, you know, is basically his whole adult life. And yeah, it wasn't good. It affects your family. It affects everyone around your relationship. So yeah, I don't know if you're in treatment. I don't necessarily know if that makes you an alcoholic. I guess it could. Everyone has kind of different definitions or things like that in their relationships with alcohol. But it's good he's taking care of that early, and hopefully it sticks, depending on kind of what the issues were. You know, we don't kind of know that. But it's good he's getting the opportunity to do rehab and figure this stuff out. The timing is couldn't be worse, but that's sometimes how these things work. It is interesting. This book just came out, The Move. Obviously, his AEW dates and things like that. Maybe it's good for him to take a little bit more time off. Having a new child will put a big stress on you as well, as I know. So, yeah, it's a bitch of a disease, and hopefully he gets what he wants and is able to kind of come to a good spot. I would tell those of you listening that are not familiar with it, have never dealt with it before, it's not a case of like an injury where it's going to go away. It's something that he's going to work with his entire life in terms of depending on how bad it is. Some people, you know, they just need it. Again, everyone's a little bit different. So it's going to be something that he's going to be fighting with his entire life. So good luck to him. And obviously good luck to his family. I don't know what they've been dealing with this. Obviously his child is super young, hasn't really seen this or kind of experienced it like I did. And that when I was a lot older. And it's not fun. It sticks with you, changes your relationship with alcohol and a lot of different things. But yeah, so that hopefully he gets his gets the help that he needs. I was thinking about that a lot and just kind of like not relating it, but my past. And you hear these stories and somebody's going to be easy to be like, oh, just think, oh, they're a celebrity. These things happen. But, you know, shout out to people that are listening to this that may have dealt with it either personally, having gone through it themselves, or a family member. For all the celebrities and things like that we hear about and say we hope they get better, there's, I mean, tens and thousands of people across this country, across this world who are dealing with it, who know they have a problem, and there are those that don't know they have a problem yet. And getting the help that they need is it's very important thing, not only for their personal health, you know, avoiding things like DWIs. I mean, you see this in a completely kind of separate story, but tied to alcohol. Henry Ruggs, this LA Raiders or Las Vegas Raiders receiver, killing someone, driving 155 miles an hour in Vegas and killing someone. His life is over. His professional life is over. He killed someone. And for what? Right. It's just stupid. So it's, you know, shout out to anyone that is going through this, has gone through this, or knows the ones that have. And obviously, as people have said before, if you get help, if you're fighting in it, if you have issues, if you know someone that is, it is tough to tell someone to get help because sometimes they don't know they need it until it's, you know, the darkest before the dawn. That can be tough conversations as well. So yeah, I'm interested in hearing more about this as much as the Moxley family wants to tell. I think some of the stories could be helpful for others that may be going through, especially kind of the moment of I need to get help. Was it a situation? Was something like that? So as much as they want to tell without being ghoulish on the outside of things, I think it would be helpful for people. And you never know, you know, we saw a lot of these stories this week with the Blade, Pepper Parks coming, basically admitting, it's weird to say admitting, but coming clean that he has dealing with depression, anxiety, things like that. And, you know, I actually wrote a quick post on it for our website. And, you know, one of the Twitter comments was, you know, basically why are you writing this and all this stuff? Well, he put it out there on his Instagram. It wasn't like a private message or anything like that. And he did it because he's looking to help other people that may be going through these issues. And part of it is let other people know what you're going through so they can help. They can help you and understand if you're down, why you might be down. But also to say, you know, if there's fans of his, or same with Moxley, if there's fans of his or fans of, like, it's okay. And sometimes people just need to know that it's okay. And if their heroes are doing it, they need to know that they can do it as well. So those are important stories to get out there to tell. You know, I wish more people felt comfortable doing that. I think we'll have more and more of that in society from here on out. We've already seen a lot of that. It's mental illness and addictions and all that, those things, those are things that happen around us and we don't even notice it a lot of times. So, yeah, thoughts to those guys for battling through it, and anyone that's fighting through those issues, get help, ask for help. If you see other people struggling with it, figure out a way to help them out as well, and you know, do what you can. So not to kind of spin things on a bummer note, but that was top of mind. On a positive note, big UFC coming up this weekend. We had the freebie show on ESPN Plus, but the show from Madison Square Garden should be good. Kind of, I would say, kind of crept up on us, but there's so much UFC and so much MMA. It's you find these tentpole events, it kind of like gets lost every now and again. So I expect the heat for this one to kind of hopefully increase the next couple of days. I haven't really seen like a ton of buzz for it yet, but I think it's one of those things that similar to, feels like these November shows, this happens all the time. Everything kind of gets overwhelmed by college football, pro football, you know, crazy stories, all this stuff, that all of a sudden we get to fight night and it's like, okay, this is awesome. And then, you know, days after, knowing it's going to pop like a huge pay-per-view buy rate. So it's Usman Covington 2, Nama Yunus and Wiley Zhang 2. And there's some other Gaethje and Chandler. It's going to be opening the show. I think that's a really cool move that they're going to open the show with that. Really kind of get things going there. And I believe the undercard is actually pretty much of a banger as well. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm actually going to be able to sit and watch the pay-per-view, which is a rarity for me on a Saturday. There's no real wrestling going on, no family commitments, anything like that. So I'm actually going to be able to sit and enjoy a pay-per-view of people fighting and beating each other up for one. So that is that's also positive. There was some other stuff I was going to talk about as well, but I am completely blanking. Next week, I hope year in review stuff. That's what I wanted to mention. So last year I did promise that I was going to do some sort of a pro wrestling year in review series in addition to the MMA year in review series. And I think I'm going to do something a little bit different with the wrestling and review series. I'm kicking around doing one for each month, and that may sound crazy, but I did a run through of January yesterday, and it is like, there's a lot of shit that happened, and I don't even have like every single, like, you know, stuff like GCW, you know. For the most part, just the big kind of the big stuff is going to take up like 45 minutes on its own. So I think I'm actually might start doing one of those per month, not for the MMA side, because those, I think we Paul and I have a good cadence there. And but I think there's just so much wrestling stuff. It's I think it could be fitting in one. So you might be seeing those come a little bit sooner than later. Next week, the hope is we'll lock on John Pollock to talk about whether there truly is a wrestling war, or if it's just simply, you know, the startings of one. I tend to lean that direction, and we'll kind of talk about more why I think that next week. But that is the hope. If not him, we'll talk to somebody else. But that is a plan at this point. And yeah, thanks to all you guys for listening. I think we'll call it good from there. You have a lot of choices in your podcast day, and I greatly appreciate the time that you spend with me or any of the great podcast hosts here in WrestlingObserver.com. And until next time, insert catchphrase here.